Thanks to everyone for coming out this Sunday afternoon. And thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your correspondence, comments, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class on our website at utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class and joined us. Couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder, Acharya, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our theme is lost and found. We all experience losses in life, times in which we feel that something was taken from us. Sometimes it's because of others. A friend betrays us at work, talks against us, and deprives us of that promotion that we were entitled to. Another friend bails out on a long-term relationship. Other times it's because of our own choices. We get involved in the wrong crowd, we develop the wrong habits, and we end up with broken dreams. We beat up on ourselves and go around saying, it's my fault I haven't gone further in life. I blew it. This is as far as I'm going to get. A lot of people are living with regrets, thinking about what they should have done. If I just spent more time with my children. If I'd only stayed in school, where would I be now? If I'd just been more disciplined, not hung out with that particular crowd. If you're a devotee, if I'd just taken my guru's instructions more seriously. But these kinds of defeated mindsets keep us from God's best for us. There are other times in life when we haven't made any bad choices at all. We've honored God, we've kept Him first place. But still, you're facing an illness, financial crisis. Maybe you're going to work each day, giving it your very, very best, but you get laid off. You can think back to times when you and your family had more than enough, but now it's all you can do just to struggle and scrape by. When we encounter loss, it's easy to get discouraged, to feel defeated, to settle where we are, and to stop expecting anything better. The good news is that Krishna, which is our name for God, He can restore you. Krishna never promises in the Bhagavad Gita that we won't face loss, but He does promise that if we stay cheerful, if we stay in faith, He will restore everything that was stolen. When Krishna restores, He didn't just bring you back to where you were before. He doesn't just bring you back to square one. He compensates and not only brings you out, but He brings you out better than you were before. Get that down in your spirit. You may have made mistakes, you may have brought trouble on yourself by bad choices, but Krishna's mercy is bigger than any mistake that you might have had. Have a restoration mentality. When we talk about restoration in the ordinary, like a car for instance, we're talking about bringing it back to its original condition. But God's definition of restoration is a little bit different. His idea is to improve, to increase, to promote, and to make better. Maybe you went through a loss due to your own poor choices or the poor choices of others. Maya, the goddess of illusion, whose job it is to keep us here in this material world, rotating on the cycle of birth, death, disease, and old age, would like nothing better than for us to go through life beating up on ourselves, thinking it's our fault, it's too late, I've made too many mistakes. No, we're not meant to be sitting around, nursing our wounds, thinking about how many bad breaks we've had. Shake off that doubt, shake off that self-pity. You may have suffered a loss, but our attitude should be, my God, Krishna is a God of restoration. I'm not only coming out, but I'm coming out stronger, coming out promoted, I'm coming out better than I was before. Put a smile on your face, a spring in your step, you're expecting things to change in your favor. That relationship that didn't work out, that's okay, I'm expecting a better relationship than the last one. That loan that didn't go through, that's okay. I'm expecting that another financial institution will give me a better loan on better terms. That medical report doesn't look good, that's okay. I'm expecting to be restored to radiant health. That child's not running around with a good crowd, I'm expecting him or her to see the light and straighten up. Maybe you're a temple president, one of the American temples, and you haven't seen any new people at the Sunday feast for a while. That's okay. Expect that a whole new crowd will show up. For everything that you've lost, for every person that did you wrong, for every unfair circumstance, for every sickness that you've endured, Krishna is saying, it's not the end, it's not over. I still have amazing things in your future. If we'll have the right attitude, Krishna will use those very losses to promote us. He'll use the person that did you wrong. He can even use the mistakes that you made. Now get your hopes up. Quit telling people that it's never going to work out and that you're just going to settle where you are. Shake that off and believe for the future. If you're familiar with the Mahabharata, the righteous, devoted Pandava brothers, through no fault of their own, they were cheated by the evil-minded Duryodhana of their kingdom in a crooked dice game. They were sent into exile for 13 years. Their wife was dishonored. The conditions of the exile were that when they came back, they were supposed to get their kingdom back, which was half of the overall kingdom. They fulfilled all the conditions of the exile, and they came out of the exile, and not only did Duryodhana recant and not give them their kingdom back, but he said that if you want even as much land as can fit under the head of a pin, you're going to have to fight me for it. And he had 4 million soldiers. So it looked as if they weren't even going to get back to where they had been before. But that's okay. They were cheerful. They knew that Krishna is all powerful, the Lord of millions and millions of universes, that they'd done everything they should do, and that Krishna, anytime he wanted, he could not only restore them back to the original condition, but he can bring them out better. And in fact, there was a war. The Pandavas faced this huge army with a ragtag forces that they could put together. Krishna acted as the chariot driver of Arjuna. The war lasted 18 days. And after those 18 days, Duryodhana lay in the dust, dying with his hip broken, being surrounded by jackals. And he gnashed his teeth with envy, with jealousy, at seeing that the Pandavas not only got their half of the kingdom back, but they got his half of the kingdom back too. So Krishna brought him out better, he gave him double, and it was payday for Duryodhana, for all of his nefarious deeds. This is called causeless mercy. Sometimes God will promote you, sometimes God will restore you, even though you don't deserve it. You look back in your past and you can't think of any reason why you would possibly get the mercy or the restoration of God. However, he sees everything past, present, and future. He'll restore you, not because of anything you've done in the past or not because of who you are, but he sees what you're capable of in the future. And for that reason alone, he can turn things around and restore even the most unlikely person. We all know on some level, because we're brought up in a Christian culture, the story of what happened to Paul, actually he was called Saul at that time, on the road to Damascus. But how many people know why he was on the road to Damascus? Because we've talked about it, right? Do you know why he was on the road to Damascus? Yes? He had successfully purged Jerusalem of all Christians. He was so opposed to Christianity that he would go to the synagogues, he would point out to the Romans which ones of the Jews had converted to Christianity. The Romans would then snatch them up, arrest them, or crucify them. So pretty much he'd taken care of the Christian community in Jerusalem, and those that hadn't been imprisoned or killed had fled to the next biggest city, Damascus. Am I right? So he offered to the Roman governor, why don't I go to Damascus and do the same thing to persecute the Christians that I'd done in Jerusalem? So it was on the road to Damascus that he had his epiphany. Now, if you'd asked any Christian at that time about Saul, they would have told you he is the devil incarnate. He is Satan, he is evil personified. And yet God's power of restoration took that most unlikely person and promoted him to be the most quoted person in the New Testament, even more so than Lord Jesus Christ himself. A former murderer and persecutor of Christianity. So others may say, critics may say, oh, you're too far gone, you don't have a chance, you might as well throw in the towel, but it's not over until Krishna says it's over. Now it's easy in the tough times to get bitter, to get discouraged, to settle where we are and to stop expecting anything better. But that's what faith is all about. You got to believe it even when you don't see it happening. You've got to learn the habit of thanking God for restoring you when you feel like complaining, when you feel like you're being treated unfairly. You got to say, I know restoration's on the way, even when every voice is telling you it's never going to happen. That kind of faith is what allows the all-powerful Lord to go to work in your life. It may not happen in 24 hours, it may not happen in 2 days, it may not happen in 6 months. Krishna doesn't put a timetable on it. He simply says, in due season, it will happen. Right now, we're experiencing one of the more severe winters in recent memory. And we don't know when this winter will end. We can't put a date that the winter will be over and spring will come. But that's not a reason not to be upbeat, not to be cheerful, and not to be looking into the future. The fact that we don't know what the timetable is. That's not really that important. What we do know is that spring will come in due course of time. It always has, and it always will. And so we can bear, we can tolerate, and we can even be upbeat about the winter season. I can't make it broad daylight at 3 a.m. in the morning. But if I wait cheerfully and patiently, the morning, the sun will rise at 7 o'clock. I can't make it dark at 3 in the afternoon, but if I wait, the sun will set at 7 o'clock. So we don't know what the timetable of the Lord is for restoration, but we can be confident that it's on the way. And He promises that He'll not leave us swinging in the wind. When you suffer a loss, there's already been established a set date for your restoration. A set time that you will enjoy payback. But along the way, in the interim period, Krishna's looking at you. He's noting, are you talking it up? Are you describing to your friends how that financial situation is going to clear up? How your health is going to be restored? How that teenager is coming back? Are you showing faith, or have you gotten discouraged? Are you complaining? Are you feeling pity for yourself and settling in where you are? Pass those tests all through the day. Lord, thank you that you are restoring back everything that was taken from me and more. You may feel that you've wasted years in a relationship, a marriage, a job that dead-ended. And you can't bring that back, but Krishna can bring new relationships and a new job across your path that will be so satisfying, so fulfilling, that you can't even remember the abuses of the past, what to speak of get bitter and resentful about them. Krishna can accelerate things. He can accelerate 1,000 years into a day. He can take a day and in that day thrust you ahead 1,000 years. What the Pandavas lost during their 13 years of exile in the forest, He gave them double back within 18 days. The latter days, the days that face us, are going to be greater than the former days. About 40 years ago, I read that great biography of Michelangelo. I assume you've all read it, right? The Agony and the Ecstasy. And I was a young person, and one sentence there stuck in my mind, because at my age, 40 years ago, I thought life was pretty much over about 30. You know, I couldn't envision life after 30. And I read this phrase. It said, when Michelangelo reached the age of 60, little did he know that his greatest art and the greatest love of his life was in front of him. And that stuck with me all these years. Even when things are your fault, Krishna will still give you another chance. If you get an opportunity throughout the evening, you can look at this diorama over here. It's the story of Ajamil as told in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ajamil was born in a pure Brahmin family. He was raised with the highest of values. But when he got to puberty, he fell into the wrong crowd. He married a prostitute. He raised children by her, and he committed every imaginable crime in order to support his family, even murder. So when it came time in his 82nd year for him to die, the agents of the Lord of Death, whose other name is Justice, dark, muscular, foreboding guys, came and they started to drag his subtle body out of his gross body for punishment. I don't know, have any of you seen that movie, Ghosts, with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore? Right? The dark guys in the underworld. The director of that movie got the idea from this incident in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was terrified. Oh my gosh, it's judgment day. You know, I'm going to have to account for all my sins. And he shouted out, Narayan, which is a name for God. He wasn't thinking of God, but he had named his youngest son after God. Narayan. And so he shouted out the name Narayan. At that moment, as you can see, the four-armed agents of Vishnu descended from the kingdom of God and stopped the Yamadutas from dragging the soul of Ajamil away for punishment. And the Yamadutas are like, you're trying to stop us from bringing this man to judgment? If anybody deserves to be punished, it's him. He's done every crime in the book. What are you talking about? And they said he chanted the name of God one time. And the name of God has such restorative power. God is absolute and he and his name are non-different. So wherever you invoke a bona fide name of God, whether it be Krishna, Allah, Govinda, Emmanuel, God is personally present. So because he unconsciously invoked the name of God, it counteracted more sins than anyone can commit in a lifetime. He got complete restoration. But the question is, what is he going to do tomorrow? He's gotten into the habits of illicit thinking and illicit activities. So even though he's been excused from all of his past sins, isn't it entirely likely that he'll resume that life the next day? In which case, there is no possibility of correction. There's no possibility of correction. It is said that a bad Christian, or a bad Catholic, I suppose, is one who parties and boozes on Saturday night, confesses and atones for it on Sunday with every intention of doing it again next Saturday night. For that kind of mentality, there's no corrigibility. There's no rectification possible. So the question was, what's Ajamil going to do if he gets a reprieve? So the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, they had a conference. They decided to give him 2 more years of life just to see if, you know, give a fool enough rope and he'll hang himself. But he did very well. He got up off of his deathbed. He went right to Rishikesh, a holy village in the foothills of the Himalayas. He found an ashram that he attached himself to, populated by great saints and sages. He did menial tasks like bring water from the river, cut up vegetables in the kitchen. He adopted the pure victory practice of chanting the names of God, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He listened to their discourses, and 2 years later, when he again died, he got an entirely different result than he would have had he not chanted the restorative, all-powerful names of the Lord. So Krishna will give even those who are sinful, even those who have made bad choices, a second chance. And on our part, it takes a certain boldness to say, Lord, I believe you will restore the years even when it was my fault. Enemies, critics will bombard your mind by saying, you're a hypocrite, you've made too many mistakes, you cannot expect anything good in your life. But that's what mercy is all about. Mercy is not deserved. Lord, I'm approaching you not because of who I am or what I might have done to merit restoration, but because of who you are. I'm asking you to turn back time and give me again every opportunity that I missed. Krishna is not moved by weak, unworthy, poor old me mentality. He resonates to boldness. He resonates to declarations of his mercy, of his omnipotence. He's there poised like a huge rain cloud laden with moisture, ready to relieve a drought-stricken land. All we have to do is stay in faith. Another story of Bilva Mangala Thakur. Now, he was a young, lusty guy. How lusty? He was at the funeral of his father. Now, even the lustiest person going to a funeral tends to quell lusty desires. Wouldn't you agree? To be confronted with the mortality and the uselessness of all this stuff. What to speak of being at the funeral of your father? But he was so lusty that he left the funeral of his father halfway through to visit his girlfriend, who happened to be a lady of ill repute. And it was a stormy, windy night with lightning and rain. There were no boats crossing the Ganges, so he struck off swimming the Ganges. And at one point he almost drowned, but he grabbed onto what he thought was a log to keep his head above water. When he got to the other shore, he took a better look. It was a dead body that he grabbed onto. He was beaten within an inch of his life by dacoits that were out on the same night. And he finally came to the outer wall of Chintamani's residence. And he grabbed what he thought was a vine to pull himself and hoist himself over the wall. And when he got on the other side, he looked back and it was a venomous snake that he just missed being bitten by. Crawled on all fours, weakly knocked on the door of Chintamani. She opened the door and looked at this miserable, pathetic person. And she said, if you had spent even 50% of the energy to reach me, to try to enjoy my body, my bag of bones and flesh and blood, you would already be a great lover of God. Those words of Chintamani caused a total restoration in the heart of Bilvamangala Thakur. The darkness was pushed out and the light came flooding in. And from that moment on, he began chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and doing exactly what she advised him to do. And today, Bilvamangala Thakur's book of poetry called Krishna Karanamrita is one of the greatest literatures of Vaishnavism. Amrita means nectar, Karna means ears. So it is said that it was the book of poetry is nectar for one's ears. Some of you, even though you're not very old for the most part, you've given up on your dreams. You've thought about how you lost years in a marriage or a relationship, about how you didn't spend enough time with your children, or if you're a devotee, you didn't honor your spiritual master. But it's time to quit blaming yourself or quit blaming others. Krishna can still get you to where you're supposed to go. He knows how to restore the years. Chayavana. Chayavana was an old cranky ascetic who was doing austerities under the ground. He was covered in earth. One day the army of Manu was passing through and he happened to have his young daughter, teenage daughter with him. And she was going about and she saw a glowing blue orb in the earth. And being a young, curious girl, she took a piece of straw and pierced it. At which time the entire army became constipated. Nobody could pass. One day went by, 2 days went by. Everyone was getting toxic and septicemia, and it was a serious situation. They were trying to figure out who had they offended in order to bring this curse upon them. And Sukanya, the little girl, said, it might have had something to do with this blue thing that I poked a couple of days ago. And she could have hidden, she could have not admitted, but she was of high character. So they looked, and lo and behold, it was this old, wrinkled sage who had been under, and she poked out one of his eyes. So in order to propitiate this old sage, the king offered his daughter in marriage, and he accepted. But he was misanthropic, he was ornery, he was cranky, he smelled bad, he was impossible to please, and for all practical purposes, for 10 years, he just abused her. Not physically, but verbally and mentally. Gave her a hard time day and night. But she was always cheerful. She never got depressed. She never complained. She never thought, Lord, Lord, this is unfair. Why did you do this to me? She never deviated from perfectly high class behavior. After about 10 years, it came to Chayavana. You know, she has been ideal. She has been the perfect wife, the picture of domestic tranquility. I think I'm actually falling in love with her. He realized that he had come to love her. But the relationship had been so polluted by his orneriness and crankiness and negativity. So he prayed to Krishna, is there any chance that this relationship can be restored and brought back to what it should be? Krishna not only returned his youth to him, not only returned him to the youthhood of a 16-year-old boy, but benedicted both him and Sukanya that they would enjoy 100 years of youthfulness and domestic joy. 100. Now, how many people can expect 100 years of joy and youth with your wife? So not only did he restore the relationship, but he gave them double. All because Sukanya didn't have a pity party. She didn't settle where she was. She continued, even in spite of her circumstances, to thank the Lord, to praise the Lord, to honor Him. So why don't we also apply this principle and ask Krishna to restore any opportunities that we've missed? Why don't we ask Him to restore relationships that are not all that they should be? Krishna can make up for 13 years of loss within 18 days. He can reward a faithful wife for 10 years of abuse with 100 years of domestic joy. He can transform a persecutor of the righteous to a saint of the highest order. He can appear to a debauchee as a prostitute and speak devotion in his heart. Some of you, you've raised a difficult child. You've struggled in a job without recognition. You've had an addiction. You've maybe thanklessly managed a temple or a mosque or a synagogue with the same aging staff year after year. No youth coming up to succeed you. You're wondering how things are going to go on. Be encouraged today. Payback, payday is on its way. Krishna is not only going to turn it around, but he's going to more than make up for lost time. He's going to restore everything that should have happened. He's going to accelerate time and make up for decades of frustration in the blink of an eye. The rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. More rewarding, more fulfilling than what has gone before. You're not going to let thoughts and discouragement and what you've been through talk you out of Krishna's best. You've been through the tough times. You've passed the test. Krishna is going to bring you to a place of great joy, great abundance, great prosperity, great peace, great friendships, great income, great expansion, great growth, and great purposefulness and fulfillment. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to chant with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.